This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
It is such a privilege to be here either virtually or in person with you tonight. As a worship pastor, I have to just note, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I had to just stop and say it. When Jesus says to be like children and only then you can enter the children, like the kingdom of heaven, he was talking about that little girl in the video. All right, the one who's jumping up and down, running across the stage. Like, I was like, that is worship right there. I loved that. So thank you guys for that video. Thank you guys for being here. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our gracious, powerful, faithful Heavenly Father. God, we're in this place virtually or physically, and God, we need a word from you today. God, your word has so much hope for us. And so I pray that you would speak today, customize a message for each person who is listening. You know, because you are our high priest that can empathize with us, you know what we're going through. You know what we've been through. You know what we are about to go through. So God, speak to us now. Youth, adult, elderly, young, old, wherever we are, God, our hearts are open and ready for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I want to invite you to open up the Word of God to John chapter 11. I'm a little biased today because John is my favorite book of the Bible. I'm a feeler, and John is super mushy with the stuff that he includes in that. And so for me, this is the book, okay? I love this gospel. Also, he likes to do his own thing. You know, the other three gospels are synoptic. That means they all kind of have interweaving stories. They parallel one another. But John, he says, no, 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 you guys got that. Let me add in the good, juicy details, okay? So that's what he begins to do. And so we're going to look at the story today of Lazarus' death, Martha, Mary, Jesus, and how Jesus steps into a situation with youth and young adults that are going through crisis. What does Jesus do in this crisis? What can we take away from that, whether that's how to help others through crisis, or if you right in this moment are finding yourself in a moment of crisis? What can we take away? So for those in the room who are youth and young adult, listen, tonight this is for you. And if you are still clinging on to that youth, but you're really just an adult, listen, we got a word in there for you too, okay? We got a word in there for everybody. See, what is super interesting, the title of tonight's message is Unmet Expectations. Unmet expectations. Now, there are a lot of things that we can disagree on in this room and in the chat, okay? Y'all in the chat, y'all be active on there because I'm going to throw a couple things your way. If you're offended, I'm sorry, but I'm the one with the mic, okay? So we are in this room, we're going to have differences of opinion. Now, there might be some people in this room that are going to commit the travesty of putting pineapple in anything other than a fruit salad like a pizza. I don't know, wish you, I'm gonna learn how to roll with you because my husband's right here and I love him to death and he does that, so I just had to learn. I was like, listen, you and I, we're not gonna vibe on that, but at least I can understand where you're coming from. So maybe we don't really get along there. Some of y'all in this room or in the chat really like cats. They won't be in heaven, but at least you can enjoy them here, okay? So there are a couple things here that we are not really connecting on, but there is a universal thing that every single person in this room or online can connect with, because we all are gonna go through it, have gone through it, will go through it again, are going through it right now, and it's three things. We hope, we hurt, and we pray for healing. So we hope for something. We have that little seed inside of us. And sometimes when we're children, we have it a lot more often than we do as adults. But we really hope for something. We have an expectation of how something is going to turn out. But because of the way that this world is, and it's so fallen, and there's sin at every corner, and we're broken, and the people around us are broken, guess what? We bump into hurt. But God promises in his word that there is healing. So whether we've experienced that healing, we're yearning for that healing, or we're looking for a future where we say, is healing even possible? This word is for you. Are you ready? Y'all in the room, are you ready? Y'all in chat, are you ready? Put "I'm ready" in the chat. I'm ready. Let's start in verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. In fact, it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So these were some friends of Jesus. Like, Jesus rolled through their house a couple times. We know that story where he rolled through not just with himself, but with 12 other people. And Martha was over here rushing, buzzing in the kitchen, and Mary was sitting down. So like, these are homies of Jesus, okay? They're friends. So the sisters, verse 3, so the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now here's the clincher. Here it is, right here. Now Jesus loved, everybody say loved. He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he ran to them right away and came and fixed the situation. That's what it says, right? What does it say there? It says, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Okay, Jesus, so listen, I'm a fixer. That's like, I like to be Superwoman. So to me, like this right here, there's some contention right here. Because Mary and Martha send this message because they have hope, right? This is Jesus. So not only do they see him and have seen him heal the blind, the lame are walking, those who are spiritually oppressed with demons are being set free, people are resurrecting, water's turning into wine. Jesus is walking on water. He's feeding the 5,000. I mean, Jesus is a man of miracles. They have hope that what Jesus has done for other people, he can now do it for them, but not just anybody. Good friends of Jesus. Close friends of Jesus. To the point where Mary, it took this step where she gave everything that she had. She purchased some alabaster oil and she put it at the feet of Jesus in front of a crowd in which she wasn't allowed to be in, really. She was in this space that was uncomfortable, but because she loved Jesus so much, it was this lavish worship that she poured out at his feet. If anybody deserved a miracle, careful, if anyone deserved a miracle, it was Mary and Martha. So hope, this little seed, is placed in the hands of the messenger, and the messenger treks to where Jesus is at and says, "Hey, the man that you love is ill." And what does Jesus do? The complete opposite of what most of us in this room would do, if we're being honest. You have children, you wanna come in and you wanna cure every single, you don't want anything to plague them. You don't want any problem to go in there. You wanna take it for them, right? You wanna come in, you wanna fix all, you're gonna stay up late and do that homework that you don't even understand, but because they're doing it, you gotta do it with them. Or like I made my mom do, "Yeah, mom, I have this science project. When's it due? Tomorrow," right? So like, you wanna fix all these problems right in the moment that you receive them. We want to come in and we want to change situations. And it's especially difficult when it's someone we love. Someone that is so close to us, a spouse or a friend, and you see them in pain and they're agonizing. You want to come in and you want to save the day. And we may not realize it, but the glory at the end of that comes to us. We're the mom that did everything. We're the friend that was always there. We're the pastor that anytime people called, we picked up that phone. Didn't matter if it was nighttime, if we were supposed to be with our kids, didn't matter, we always there picking up the phone. Why? Because that I can count on that person. But Jesus says the glory in this situation goes to one person alone. He says, it is for the glory of God. It is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Jesus doesn't go immediately and fix the problem. In fact, he stays and allows the problem to get worse. Oh, Lord. He allows the problem to get worse. And so that hope that is put into his hand, it almost seems like he's a liar. Because he said, it's not going to end in death. Oh, really? Because let's keep reading. The disciples have this interesting conversation. My man Thomas is like, all right, let's go die, right? Because Jesus is going back to this place where people want to kill him. So he says, very bluntly, let us also go. This is verse 16. Thomas, called the twin, also the doubter we know a little later, said to his fellow disciples, let's go also, that we may die with him. Gotta love that sarcasm, right? So verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. We're going to come back to that, so put a pin there. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. We all have hope. Maybe you had hope for a child, and 3 miscarriages later, you're about to give up. You had hope that you would be able to buy a house, but with this crazy market, oh, that's not happening. You had hope that your family would be together for the holidays, but you're just not quite sure that people are ready to make reparations yet. We have hope that our business is going to grow, or that our kids are going to get well, or we have hope. So what do you do when your hope turns into hurt? What happens then? What does Jesus do as he steps in the middle of a crisis that he could have averted? He could have solved it. And instead, he has Martha coming to him, tears in her eyes. I'm sure she is choking in sobs as she says, listen, if you would have been here, my brother, he wouldn't have died. 4 days he's been dead, and we've been mourning with people around us. Side note, as people are going through crisis, what they need is community. That's why this place right here exists. That's why Plantation is here. It's not because it's a nice building with a nice remodel. Looks good, though, by the way. I just got to say that. Okay, it's not just a nice remodel. This is a place where people can find community in their crisis, where they can find a place to go when everything in front of them looks like there's no path. There, people can come around them and say, you know what? We've been here before. Yeah, I have some experience in that. Let me show you how God got me through that. Okay, they have community. But Jesus steps in to hurt. And it's right in his face. So what does Jesus do? So interesting. So interesting what Jesus does, because it's so opposite of what we tend to do, right? We want to come and we want to fix things. Jesus waits because he has discernment of something greater that is coming. Jesus comes to this place, and when he's face to face with hurt, with someone who's in his face saying, listen, if you had been here, none of this would have happened. What does he do? Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. It's interesting the way Martha and Mary deal with this crisis. Jesus doesn't say, where's Mary? Why didn't she come with you? She doesn't want to see me. He's not judging her for the way that she's grieving. So Martha is that person that when in the middle of her grief, she goes right to Jesus. And she's like, listen, I got to sit with you and we got to hash this out. And some of us are like that. Some of us in grief and crisis, we want to come to Jesus right away. And we want to ask questions. We want to get on our knees. We want to wrestle it out. But there are others that are like Mary. They're just not ready to see Jesus yet. They're not ready to come face to face with the person that they think could have prevented their hurt. They're just not ready. And Jesus doesn't force Mary to come. So many of us will come into moments of crisis and we're looking around at people in crisis. Well, you just need to get on your knees and you just need to go to Christ. Okay, there's some truth in that, but what if they're not ready though? What if they're not ready to go to their knees? Because the God that they see as supposed to be good allowed this thing to happen to them. What do you do when someone runs over their child? Like, how do you deal with that? And Jesus doesn't force people to grieve in a certain way. He gives her space, and he says, yeah. In a way, he's saying, all right, I'm going to meet up with her in a bit, but it's going to take her a little longer, and that's okay. And then he doesn't look at Martha and say, girl, what you know about what you're talking about? I'm God. Right? He doesn't come into her face. In fact, he comes and he gives her comfort. He says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He rekindles that hope that was once lost. But he's not shaming her for asking questions or coming in his face. Like what she's saying, the statement that she's saying, there's a question implied. Like, where were you? I called for you 4 days ago and you're not here. Where were you? In fact, there are some people later on. It's verse 37. I'll just read it real quick. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? I mean, Jesus has questions all around him. And so many times in the church, I've experienced it and I've seen it in my friends where people come with questions and they're not allowed to ask it because questions is equivalent to doubt. And we don't do that here. We don't doubt. Because what we say here, we believe it. You can't ask questions ever. If you do, you're a non-believer. How dare you come with your questions? Is that what Jesus does? Jesus gives, watch this, space for his questions. There's a whole book of Job. We could count up all the questions in there. Where he says, why have you allowed this to happen? Da, 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 da. God is a God who can handle the questions. So we gotta give space for people who are going through crisis to ask their questions. Even if it tugs at our heart a little bit of like, oh man, but if only you knew, if we're, you know what? Right now they're like Mary and they just can't see it. And that is okay. Give space for the questions. Allow people to ask because those who will seek will find. God will make himself known to those who search him with all of their heart. So we don't have to defend God. He's big enough to do it by himself. What Jesus does is that he creates room for those questions. And then he inspires hope. That same hope that was lost. Now he says, your brother will rise again. Now, this could be right now. Or this could be, I mean, it would be true that right in the end times, like, he would rise again. So Martha kind of has this like a little bit of a middle spot. And she says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she begins to ask for some clarification, right? She's saying, yeah, like I know he's going to rise. Like we believe in the resurrection in the last day. But Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I love it. Oh, I love Jesus. Because this is what he does, is that he comes into this space of crisis. And he doesn't try to fix her or, you know, reprimand her for asking questions. No, no, no. He comes into this space. He acknowledges. He gives hope for the future, and then he asks a question that gets to the root of the issue. So many times we want to deal with the outer stuff, right? With the things that we can see. We want to come to and say, why are you doing this? Or why are you acting like that? Or why are you saying that? When really people are hurting on the inside, and Jesus comes straight to the heart and he says, do you believe me? Do you believe what I've said? Do you believe who I am? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, that those who believe in me will not die, they will live, and those who live in me also the same? He gets to the heart of belief. You're going through crisis right now. What do you believe about Jesus? Because your belief will be your anchor. When you don't feel the same way that you believe. So you believe that God is faithful, but you feel like he's abandoned you. You believe that God has good and perfect plans for you. But what you're feeling right now is that if you had chosen the plans, it would have been a little bit better. You believe what God has said in his word, but what you're feeling is contrary. Belief is anchored in something outside of us. Our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, that is everlasting because he is everlasting. And so he begins to target again at the inside, the belief, the core. So if you're someone who's going through crisis, you need to ask yourself, what do I believe? Not just what do I know? What have people told me? What have I experienced? What do I believe about God? And if you are someone who is needing to help somebody through crisis, continue to reaffirm. Not things that kind of coat and sugarcoat and say, well, like God knows, like in God's plan, like, no. I get to the specifics of the issue and target the belief as Jesus did, and then ask questions. So many times we want to give answers, but Jesus at the end of this asks a question. And so Martha responds, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she heard this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. You know, sometimes it takes God telling somebody to go get that person and bring it to him. You can be that person for someone. If you're listening to the voice of God, you can say, oh, I hear you. And they're not ready to come to you directly, but they will come to me, a friend that they know and that they trust. Come. Jesus is calling for you. And so Mary, maybe reluctantly, maybe excited, maybe with sorrow, comes. Jesus hasn't come into the village yet, but he was still in the place with Martha. Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were in her house were consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse in the Bible, 35, two words, Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, see how much he loved him. Healing is that third thing that we can all agree with, right? So there's hope, there's hurt, and there's healing. You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, healing is guaranteed. Okay, you don't believe me? Listen to this. Healing is guaranteed. You're going to be healed perhaps immediately, in an anointing, a laying of hands, a plea to God. He can heal whatever it is in your life, whether it's mental illness or a child or a cancer or a sickness or something that you've been dealing with, a temptation that's plaguing your mind. He can heal you immediately. We see it in the Gospels over and over and over. He touches somebody, somebody touches him, immediate healing. We know it's possible. So that can happen. Sometimes it's not immediate, but it's eventually, right? So over time, God is taking you through something. You need to learn from this. There's a dependence on him that's created, right? God knows what is good. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So he knows why he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, although we will not be afraid. So there are reasons for our trials, where we're fined in the fire. So it can come eventually. But healing is guaranteed, because ultimately, whether you die or whether you're alive to see it, I don't know which one I want yet. We're going to hear a bah, 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 and everybody is going to look up and they're going to see Jesus coming down in the clouds with a host of angels and the trumpet of God. And he's going to raise up those who had died in Christ first, and then those who are believers and still on this earth will be caught up with him. And then we will be changed into our new bodies. And from that moment forward, we will never be separated from Jesus Christ. Healing is guaranteed. So what do we do in the meantime? Whether we're going through crisis or we're helping somebody go through crisis. Look what Jesus does. Verse 35. Jesus wept. If Jesus knew the outcome, why cry? If Jesus knew that literally 4 or 5 verses from now, he was going to resurrect Lazarus from the grave, why cry? Because Jesus can empathize with us. We are not alone in our sorrow. We are not alone in our crisis. God is a God who feels deeper than we could ever know because he loved Martha, Mary, Lazarus, all the Jews who were there, and he saw them weeping because of their loved one. His heart was moved within him. He was stirred, and he empathized, and he weeps with them. You want to know how to help somebody who's with crisis, who's going through crisis? It's not about fixing the issue for them. It's not about having all the right answers. Presence and empathy, I promise. Those are ingredients for success. You were just there. You were there while they were at the hospital. You were cleaning their house, right? Because no one was cleaning the house because they were at the hospital all the time. You were there bringing them food because who has energy when you're going through chemo or you're looking at someone literally dying in front of you? Who has energy to cook? Well, don't worry. I brought you some food. I'm present with you. Being the hands and feet of Jesus, being present in crisis. Empathy, man. And Jesus feels it in his core. Despite their unmet expectations, they had seen Jesus do miracles and they really wanted a healing for their brother and they didn't get it. But you know what they got instead? They didn't get a healing. Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha, sister of the dead man, they really wanted to emphasize it. He's dead, all right? Decomposing, he's stinky, he's dead. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around me, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound like linen strips coming out like a mummy. And his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. The sisters, they expected a healing, but Jesus gave them a resurrection. See, when we come in with our unmet expectations, we have hope. There's hurt, but Jesus guarantees some healing. It will be better than what you ever asked for or imagined. What Jesus has in store, yeah, it may not meet your expectation, but I promise you it'll exceed them. Now or later. Because Jesus, what he does is that he doesn't just do this healing, and it's one easy thing. Right after this, Jesus' walk is straight to the cross. In fact, this is the pinnacle moment where the Pharisees knew, oh, he has to go. Jesus comes in, and at the expense of his own life, answers a prayer that Mary and Martha didn't even pray. At the expense of his own life, gives everything he has for this miracle. Jesus is a God who suffers. And a God who suffers is a God that can be trusted. Because he's not apart from our suffering. In fact, he's in the midst of the crisis. We have a high priest who can empathize with everything that we are going through or gone through or will go through. Because he takes on suffering. He is whipped to the point where his flesh is sticking off of his back. The whips that they use had rocks and shards and glass and would literally stick and you would rip it off. Jesus went through suffering. And he sees you. I want you to know that if you're watching online, if you're in this room and you feel alone, God sees you, he hears you, and he understands, he empathizes with you. You have a community here. He is a God who suffers and he can be trusted. So I want to put this call out there. If you are in a moment now, if you're in a position here in this church, or at your job, or in your family, where you can be someone who can help somebody through crisis. Where you're not giving all the answers, but in fact, you're just present. You're okay with questions. You're directing them back to the belief in Jesus Christ. And you want me to pray for you, for wisdom, for discernment. If you're in the room, you just raise your hand. If you're in the chat, you say, that's me. I'm gonna pray for you. But I would be remiss if I were in this space tonight And I did not give you the opportunity, if you have not yet, to say yes to this Jesus, who doesn't meet your every expectation, but will exceed every single one, who is with you in crisis, who suffers and therefore can be trusted. And for you to receive him as your personal savior, for you to learn and learn what it means to believe in a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, what it is to believe in a God who creates mountains and earth, who is with you at every moment, where our help doesn't come from the earth or the mountains, but it comes from God above. If this is you and you have not yet made a decision for baptism, this is what I want you to do. Listen close, because God is speaking to your heart today. You're going to text the word baptism. Okay? It's okay if you spell it wrong. Not a big deal. We'll understand what you mean. To 954, I'll go real slow, 954-388-8780. You may win a laptop. You may win a Samsung tablet. But I promise you, the best thing that you can gain by texting baptism to that is the blood of Jesus Christ over you, where you become a new creation, where you are no longer dead in your sin, but you are now free, and you are free to believe in a God who loves you more than you can. Woo! You don't even understand it. It's a love that will overwhelm you, I promise. It will move your heart. It will move your mind, and you will never be the same. So text it. Text baptism to that number. And there's a family ready to welcome you into their arms, to walk you through crisis, and to be your community. Can I pray for you guys? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for being a God who is in the middle of our crisis. Lord, you never leave us alone. God, you often, so often, you whisper. But you whisper because you're close. You're breathing down our necks, God. You never sleep. You're waiting for us each and every day to take that step, one more step closer to you. And God, we praise you for the hope that you will rekindle in us. Despite our hurt, we know you're in it. And God, we look forward to that healing, whether it is immediate, eventual, or ultimately, God. I pray for those who are in this space or online who are really wanting to be there for people who are going through crisis, want to be there for the youth and young adults of this church, Lord. I pray that you would create in them a new heart, that you would give them discernment, that you would resist the urge to come and fix things, but instead would lean on your spirit for wisdom. God, I want to pray for those who have not yet accepted you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you would come into their hearts in a special way, that the attacks of the devil would be thwarted because you are powerful and almighty. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray protection over them. We pray your salvation, and we pray that they would walk in a new skin, God, that they would say yes to you and never be the same after that. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to walk with you, and we continue to look forward to the day that you will come and make all things new. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.